They do believe there's still, they think there's enough time to catch up on things that they've got. And they've got two pile drivers out there for the bridge. So DOT's discussion with us is they still believe that the end of March is the time they can make.
So that was Mayor Grover Robinson yesterday during our press conference talking about the bridge. They've gone to 7 days a week pile driving. They've added a crew for pile driving. They say pile driving is the hardest part. And yet, though, they poured some of the deck this last week. They're still saying they're on target. They're behind, but they get back, is what they're saying. Joining us now, Alec Andrade. He is our House representative in the state of Florida legislature for District 2. That's the southern half of Escambia County, Gulf Breeze, and the beach. Alex, welcome back to Pensacola Right Now with Andrew McKay filling in for Bobby Rossi.
Hey, well, good afternoon, Andrew.
I know. So weird to say it that way, right? Sure. All right. Well, let's start there. That has nothing to do with what you're doing in Tallahassee right now, but honestly, it looks to me like, you know, I feel like I'm dealing with negotiating the Chinese right now. Like, I got to read between every line to figure out what's really going on. It doesn't seem to me like they're on schedule to the end of March. What do you think?
So we have weekly update meetings with DOT, and then, you know, I also reach out to Skanska. To say that they're behind in the context of the entire bridge repair project, would be incorrect. You know, there are some aspects of the project that they had set goals for, you know, that they're not meeting those, but they're also ahead of schedule on others. And, you know, you have sophisticated engineers, people who do this for a living, who, you know, based on their assessment, this is not uncommon for them, and they still anticipate a late March reopening.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess pile driving is step one, and then there's like 50 other steps after that. And if they're behind on the pile driving, you know, it's hard for me to fathom that everything is on track in the overall end result of the project. I know they're the experts and I'm not, but, you know, it's like burn me 15 times, shame on me, you know, 16, 17, 18 is what it feels like. And I just want people to have a realistic expectation. So I know Sam Abel said the same thing, but you're confident that FDOT is confident that the end of March?
Yeah. You know, barring unforeseen weather or something else happening, I still anticipate end of March. I think it's important for people to keep in mind that a lot of these steps, they're not being done in unison or in some type of linear order. A lot of them can be done, you know, at the same exact time. So you have fabrication that can be done off site. You have obviously demolition, removal of a lot of the debris that settled on the bay floor. You got pile driving, obviously. And a lot of these things are being done at the same time. You know, I'm still confident. I trust DOT. You know, DOT is the one that's the project, you know, supervisor. They're the ones who are, you know, they're signing the contract and administering the contract with Skanska. And so long as they're confident, I'm confident.
Okay, well, I mean, I will be gladly wrong. I mean, I would love nothing more than to be wrong and to have FDOT come through in the end and everything to work out okay. That would be fantastic. Let's talk about some of the stuff that's going on at the – well, I guess actually had one other quick thing. This has become such a big topic, this issue of water in the south end of the county with the expansion of the borrow pit in the Milton area and the well water, well field protection area. I feel like I've talked to everybody about this. I know this came up with the legislative delegation meeting that you had last week. Is there a role for you to play in this, or is it kind of like beyond your hands, really?
I think it was about 15, 20 years ago, the state started giving power back to counties to do a lot of their land management and their comprehensive plans for how they're going to regulate and zone properties in each individual county. So while the state has kind of a supervisory role as far as, you know, the county takes an action and submits it for review by the state, there's not much the state can do as far as vetoing specific decisions. But what the state can do before they have to, you know, inevitably sign off on something is they can ask for more specific information and get different responses. So, DEP, has been, you know, preparing and reviewing the proposal for the change to the comp plan in Santa Rosa County. I anticipate that they're going to have several questions, and I don't anticipate the state, you know, just signing off with a smile and saying go forth. I think that, you know, when you're talking about contaminating our water, there's a you know, there's a lot of considerations that go into play.
Okay.
So it's nowhere near finished.
Okay, so this has got at least two robust steps between happening. Step one is DEP, and you're saying that's not a slam dunk. And then, of course, step two, it comes back to the commission in their zoning capacity. And that's also, I think, at this point, by any stretch, not a slam dunk. Okay, well, that's actually comforting to me to know. Hey, we're talking to Alex Andrade. He is our state representative, District 2. Alex, are the Olympics going to be coming to Florida?
Oh, man, I wish. I do love how much of a salesman Jimmy Patronis, our CFO, is. I think it's a great idea, but I think logistically it's probably not likely. But no, I do love the fact that Jimmy Patronis, you know, homegrown panhandle guy, and, you know, the Florida cabinet is always selling the state to both people in those high tax, high regulation northern states, and also people internationally. So I appreciate what he's doing.
Hey, we can just put him up at the Bay Center. I mean, it'll be fine. We can put the Olympics here at UW. We can take care of it all.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, one of the things that I'm very interested in is this protection for businesses to give them a level of shielding and to raise the legal standard for suing them over alleged COVID-19 neglect. That bill seems, if I'm not mistaken, to be pretty much sailing through, pardon me, without a lot of Democrat support, but it does seem to be sailing through. What's your assessment?
I think you have strong support for some level of COVID liability for businesses in Florida. The big difference between the Senate and the House is the inclusion of healthcare providers in the Senate bill, whereas healthcare was cut out of the House bill. That's for several different reasons. My hope is that we make sure that we're, you know, recognizing the risks that, you know, people on the front lines have been taking on behalf of Florida residents, and we make sure that they get some level of protection as well before the end of the day.
Last thing that I wanted to ask you, Alex, again, this is something that came up at your legislative delegation meeting. As you know, local commissioner James Calkins, who is very enamored of Anthony Sabatini, apparently. And Sabatini, of course, is, I won't make you say it, but he's well to the right in our party. And that's okay sometimes. That's fine. But he's put forward an open carry, what they're calling constitutional carry bill. My read of the legislature is that every year any small motion on gun rights is a big deal, even something as simple as, you know, guns allowed in churches that are on school campuses or college carry, any of that. Like, those would be big wins. Open carry seems like a big old step, even though I support it. What do you think? Is that going to make the legislature this year, or is that going to – I mean, what do you think?
If I were to bet, I would not predict that it would make it through both the House and the Senate. It would be a simple approach to something that other states have executed very well. There are plenty of states in America now that allow for open carry, and I don't see any good reason why Florida shouldn't be one of them. With our concealed weapons license issues here in Florida right now, we were in a position last year for our one statewide Democrat elected official, Mickey Freed, to kind of inhibit or restrict the ability of some people to get their concealed weapons licenses. And, you know, it really is a right delayed is a right denied. That's something that we should always try and tackle. But for practical purposes, I don't anticipate it making it through both chambers this year, but it's absolutely good policy that I'd love to see move forward.
And yeah, good point about Nikki Fried slow dragging the application. That's been a problem. By the way, I did want to throw you one extra kudos. In both of the legislative delegation meetings, at least the first one in Escambia County, you asked all the right pertinent, coming from a lawyer like you, questions of the Okaloosa Gas Expansion Project, which may be good, may not be, but the right questions were raised, and I'm glad you're keeping a good track on that. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2. Escambia County, Southern End, plus Gulf Breeze, plus the beach. Alex, thanks for the time. We know Tallahassee is a bit of a stretch already for you time-wise, but I appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate it.
You bet.